The first reading can be found on page 1249 of the Pew Bibles, 2188 of the large print Bibles. The reading today is from Revelations, chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. A new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading can be found on page 1015 of the Pew Bibles and 1793 of the larger print. The reading is taken from Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 32. Jesus again predicts his death. They were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." The request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I might help you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, page 1015, so you can follow what I'm saying. In our Bible reading, two disciples of Jesus, James and John, are asking to sit next to Jesus, not on a rug at a hillside picnic, like at the feeding of the 5,000, or the upper room's Last Supper. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand, the other at your left, in your glory." The Lord Jesus does not say no straight away to those two Jewish fishermen. He's already told his disciples three times that his destiny is death, and Jesus is currently heading to Jerusalem, to that royal city, but this city will not bring him to a glorious throne. Indeed, in his own words, it will give him a cup to drink and a baptism to undergo. Verse 38, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" Those are two very loaded Old Testament phrases. The cup of God's righteous anger, which drinking it would bring terrible suffering, and baptism, an invitation to go down, overwhelmed, down into the water. And they answer, "We can." And Jesus says, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with baptism I am baptized with." Yes, they would suffer. They both did. There are no special seats, no glory without suffering. The last few days since the Queen died, we've seen before us such dignity, such history and aplomb each day. I think our country is unrivaled in the way we do these great royal occasions. My wife bought a copy of Country Life recently, and it's an edition about the Queen, and it's deeply moving to see the articles in it. But think about her life: 15 prime ministers, I won't list them for you, 14 presidents, and 7 archbishops of Canterbury. What an extraordinary reign we've seen. And then the strange going on the last fortnight. We have the outgoing Prime Minister going to Balmoral, the new Prime Minister meeting the Queen, then on Thursday, the sad announcement of her death. And then a new King, the accession council, and the proclamation of King Charles III. And of course, we have much more to come tomorrow. But that was nothing compared to the Lord Jesus Christ reigning on a throne. And his rule and reign will never be passed on to another. There's a stability to this reign, unrivaled authority, and glory, and holiness, and divinity. Her Majesty, in a fairly recent Christmas broadcast, said this. She said, "That king is the anchor of my life." She looked to him as her security and king. But she knew only too well that that did not prevent the hard knocks of life in illness, grief, loss, and death itself. Hers has been a life of sacrifice, and in her own way, she knew there was no glory without suffering, and no resurrection without a cross. Verse 41. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Not so with you, says Jesus. The greatest give themselves in service. And that's what Her Majesty's done throughout her life. Service for God and for others, and not just her family and friends, but people who've never met her, and people from all the overseas territories. There's an old adage, which sadly seemed to have disappeared in many places, and that was that adage, giving your life. And that's what Her Majesty the Queen has done. She's given her life to service. But in recent years, a new adage has come to the front, and people talk not about giving your life, but living your life. But we should follow her example. But listen carefully, don't just follow her example, but follow her in following Jesus, who served others. Here's the Queen speaking, age 21. I quote, I declare before you that all my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong. Her Majesty the Queen knew the Lord Jesus was a great example. She was a follower of him, not just on the outside, but it was personal. She had a real faith in Christ. Jesus Christ, the great Lord, the monarch of monarchs, who called himself a servant. That's the one the Queen lived her life for. Verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We used to have this book in church when the Queen reached her 90th birthday, and many people bought copies of it. The title of that book on her 90th birthday was The Servant Queen and the King She Serves. That sums up her life so well. We all in different ways will have a temptation to pride. But actually, self-importance is a particular danger for leaders, royalty, politicians, sometimes even for clergy. But listen to Jesus. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He tells us to be the slave of all. Now, few acts of service are actually enjoyable. But it's what we do if we're Christian believers. It's what we're called to. I wonder, as we look back, is there some act of service, some ministry God might be calling you to, even today? It won't be glamorous, it won't be fulfilling or fun. You and I are not here to claim our rights, but rather we should be serving him. We're not here to find folk to serve us, but to be people who serve. It's what Jesus did. He gave his life as a ransom for many. He put himself out for others and ultimately laid down his life as a ransom. He did the worst thing anyone could do, and he did it for you and me. His death was in our place. Isaiah 53 talks about the suffering servant, and Jesus was that suffering servant. And Isaiah says in that great prophecy that the servant would bear the sin of many, not everybody, of many of those who looked to him. And the Lord Jesus, whom the Queen followed, was pierced and crushed. I wonder today, as you contemplate your own mortality, are you among the many? I've been looking at the media quite a lot the last 10 days, and the media has made much about Her Majesty the Queen's life of service, but less about her Christian faith, which produced it. Let me end by quoting her. I hope that, like me, you will all be comforted by the example of Jesus of Nazareth, who often in circumstances of great adversity managed to live a life, an outgoing and unselfish and sacrificial life. He made it clear that genuine human happiness and satisfaction lie more in giving than receiving, more in serving than being served. We can surely be grateful for this 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus. So many of us are able to draw for inspiration from him, his life and message, and to find in him a source of strength and courage. Amen.